Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us a special guest. His name is David Kapelian. Is that the right pronunciation?
Close. Kapelian.
David Kapelian, and we're going to be talking about the crisis in Christianity, which is the very crisis in the very soul of America. So why don't you sort of introduce yourself to our listeners? I understand you're with WorldNet Daily?
Yes, Stan. I am the vice president and managing editor of WorldNet Daily, which, for listeners who don't know, is the world's largest independent news website. We have about 5 million readers. It's worldnetdaily.com or WND.com, and we also have a monthly magazine, print magazine, called Whistleblower, and I'm also the managing editor and basically put that together.
Well, you do a great job. I enjoy going to your website, the great articles that you have, and I'm just glad that you're surviving. I see we lost Insight Magazine here this last month. They were doing such a good job that they said they couldn't get any advertisers, so I'm glad you're still out there on the front lines and telling it like it really is.
We are, too.
All right, fine. Well, tell us about the crisis in Christianity. Most people know something's wrong, but they can't quite put their finger on it. It's like trying to put your finger on a glob of mercury, and it just sort of gets away from you. Everybody knows something's wrong, but what is wrong?
Good question. And as a matter of fact, when Christian conservative people talk, you know, politically conscious people who are involved with the culture and the world talk about these things, and they bemoan the ACLU and the latest movies from Hollywood and what the radical gay activists are doing and Darwinism, and they bemoan all of the kind of increasingly secular encroachment and really now increasingly anti-Christian and marginalizing of Christianity. There's a lot of talk about that, a lot of press about that. But at some point, we have to stop and ask, well, but why are we losing this war? Why are Christians losing this war, this culture war, if the great majority of Americans are Christians? I don't know what your numbers are. It's, what is it, 80-some percent of Christians, of Americans, call themselves Christians. As the article that we're talking about, the Why Are Christians Losing America, which, by the way, I had reposted on WorldNet Daily. If your readers want to go to the website right now on page one, they'll run into it. It's called Why Are Christians Losing America? And it's quite in-depth, and it covers all these things that we're talking about and more. And it just talks about how, you know, Americans, including the Christians, voted for Bill Clinton twice. They voted for Al Gore. They might be voting for John Kerry come November. They've lost the war, basically, for abortion. They've lost the schools. They've lost politics, the press, entertainment, the whole thing.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty. We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma
what really happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City and what really happened.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. Hi.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is David Kapelian. He's with the assistant managing editor of WorldNet Daily and the editor of their news magazine, The Whistleblower. Does a great job of addressing the issues of today. And, of course, if you've ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, they had an article there recently on WorldNet Daily, I think by Ron Strom, going into the connection between the people, Terry Nichols and the September 11th bombing, information you'll never get elsewhere. But Terry Nichols was over in the Philippines visiting with some of the same people who were involved in the September 11th bombing. You'll hear that on, or you'll read that on WorldNet Daily, but you're not going to read that elsewhere. Well, of course, our guest is talking about how we're losing America, how we've lost the battle as far as abortion, how we've lost the media. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course David Kapelian is with us from WorldNet Daily, and his point is we have Christians, even though the majority of our people in America profess to be of Christians of one sect or a belief or another, that we seem to be losing the battle. And I'll tell you, we sure lost the battle on abortion, because I say that probably very few of our congressmen or senators even read the legislation on the partial birth abortion bill that they actually passed, which actually gave away the whole store. And what that legislation said was that now, of course, the Senate and the House believe Roe versus Wade was perfectly all right. Never before had they voted as a unit to approve abortion, and that's exactly what they voted for in the partial birth abortion bill. And besides that, they redefined partial birth abortion. And of course, if you have to have the whole head out before it's a partial birth abortion, so that can be head can be crowning, they can put a needle into the fontanelle, they can simply suck out the brains, kill the child, and it isn't a partial birth abortion. It was the greatest fiasco of all time. But I bet a very few of our congressmen or senators even read the legislation they voted for, because, after all, everybody's against partial birth abortion. It's amazing how deceitful the people on the other side are. Did you ever read that article, ever read the legislation, David?
No, I have to say I didn't, but I read enough about it to know that the validity of what you're talking about.
Okay, well, so why are we losing, and what can we do about it?
Well, okay, we framed the question, and you know, you have to realize that when you have such a burning question and everybody talks about it, you know, Christians and conservatives and pundits and ministers and D. James Kennedy, God bless him, he's up there appealing to pastors and to his many parishioners to care, to get involved. And if the answer is elusive as you are saying, then we have to be willing to consider take a deep breath and consider that maybe the reason it's elusive is because it's a painful answer, and it's something that is personally painful to us, and maybe even something we're not even totally ready to face yet. Is that a fair statement to make?
I think it's an excellent statement to make.
Okay, because if it were just an obvious thing, do you hear some guy, some Capelian guy on the radio here with Dr. Stan, and he says something, he says, oh yeah, of course, that's the thing. Now they can turn the whole country around. No, I'm not going to say something like that, because you would have heard it before. It would have been too easy. It is painful, and because we have a limited time, and so I'll get right to it, how I see it. And this is what I'm saying in the article, Why Are Christians Losing America? And if people want to read it and get mad at me as they read along, they can do that too. But, you know, Stan, there's a famous saying that a life unexamined is a life not worth living. I forget who said it, but it's a very good, and it's a very Christian statement, because Christianity is based really in terms of your lifestyle and the changes that occur to you as a Christian through repentance and self-examination and all that kind of thing in the light of God's laws and the grace of Christ. Well, many Christians, let's say far too many Christians, simply don't see the need to examine their lives because they figure they're already saved, so what difference does it make? It's kind of like this. Let's say that I just won the lottery for $26 million, okay? And now you're telling me, that's nice, Dave, but you need to still be going to your job tomorrow. You got to get there on time, do a good job 8 hours a day as the orderly at the hospital, whatever your job is. You need to do that, okay? I can say, yeah, okay, Sam, that's great. Thanks. See you later. But am I really going to go? Am I going to be motivated to go to work? I've got it made. I won the lottery. I don't need to work anymore. And the point I'm making is that there are different types of Christians, okay? I'm not putting all Christians into one category. There are very, very sincere Christians, which are the salt of the world. That's what Western civilization has been based on. And I describe them in my article. They're why we still have as much freedom as we have today in this country. But there are many, many, I mean, I don't know if it's thousands or millions of Christians for whom basically all they care about is that they have this idea that they are saved. They said, yeah, they've got the pitch at some point in their life that they believe in the death of Christ and his resurrection as atonement for their sins. They can go to heaven. This is the most profound spiritual equation in the universe, and it can be accepted with great reverence and depth and humility, or with great shallowness and selfishness. Oh, that's great. I don't want to go to, H-E double toothpicks, as my kids say. So, okay, I'll believe in that. I'll believe in Jesus. Sure. What do I got to do? Okay, great. Done? Great. I can go on with my life now and just be a selfish swine and do whatever I was doing before. Now I'm saved. I may be caricaturing it a little bit, but believe me, not much. There are just many, many Christians who basically their spiritual life starts and ends with this formula. Now I'm saved. That's it. I'm done. And there is no need to obey God's laws. There's no need for works. Hey, we're saved through faith, not works. What's this guy talking about works for? The same good book says faith without works is dead. Works is the evidence of your faith, of your true faith that saves. Basically all of what you'd expect a sincere believer to do does not necessarily follow in many of today's Christians. Christianity has become, and in many circles, a kind of a dumbed down religion. Everything else has been dumbed down. Education has been dumbed down. We have a dumbed down news media. And unfortunately, Francis Schaeffer, 30 years ago, he's one of the most revered evangelical thinkers, wrote a book called I can't think of it. I'm sorry. He wrote a book that was very critical of the Great Evangelical Disaster. And he's talking about, in slightly different terms, the dumbed-downedness, if I may coin a term, of of modern Christianity. It's all been reduced from this glorious religion down to a simple thing that's almost equivalent to Islam. You know how you become a Muslim? You have to repeat a single phrase. I won't do it because I don't want to become a Muslim. But anyway, you repeat this phrase that I believe in Allah and Muhammad and so forth, and bang, then you're a Muslim. Then you have to follow certain very rigid behavioral things, praying five times a day and giving to the poor and so forth after that. But believe me, that is simply not all that there is to becoming a Christian and a changed person. A Christian is a follower of Christ. And a follower of Christ is someone who does what he said and who has given up pride and egotism and selfishness and who is dying daily, as Paul said. And all these things that were a traditional understanding in an earlier era of what Christianity was, they have a natural outcropping into behavior, into your the way you are in life, your involvement in public policy, your political views. All that stuff is just icing on the cake of a true Christian walk. So I'm saying something very tough and very core here, that the reason Christians are losing America is that you have millions of Christians who aren't true Christians in the original sense of what a Christian is.
I agree with you. You're not going to get any argument from me. I think that this idea of once saved, always saved, I don't understand that. Now, this is a basic tenet of the Christian faith, of the, at least the evangelical faith, but then how do you explain the leader of the homosexual movement who was raised in my community? He's one of the leaders. And when asked, aren't you, what you're doing is wrong? I mean, you left your wife and your children, you're leading the homosexual movement, you have a big homosexual church. He said, oh, no. Once saved, always saved. I have nothing to worry about. I don't believe that. I just do not believe that that is what Christianity is really all about. I believe that if you're really saved, why your life is going to be transformed. And we're going to see the effect of what you're doing. You're not saved by what you do, but we're going to see the effect of it, the evidence of it. And James talked about it in the Gospels. And the tragedy is that I think that we've got an awful lot of people who bought a false gospel and on our one-way trip to hell because there is no evidence of any change in their lives. They have to be a transformed life. They're not going to be able to do the things they did before. Oh, they may sin. We'll all sin. But they know that something different has happened to them. Their life is really transformed. And when a person tells me they're a Christian and every other word out of their mouth is a swear word, I don't believe their life has been transformed. And I don't believe that Christians can look you right in the eye and lie and do all the things that everybody else does. And if we don't find any evidence in their actions, then I think we at least have the right to wonder, is this really a Christian or is this somebody who, like Bill Clinton, gets up and talks about Christianity and God bless you and carries a Bible with him every time he goes to church. And then he even lied in his own book about so many things. I mean, what a disastrous human being. And yet, as you point out, an awful lot of Christians voted for him.
Well, yes, and of course, when you mention the Bible, Stan, the Bible is it's thousands of pages, it's 66 different books written over a long period of time, and if you're looking to reinforce your particular prejudice, your particular beliefs, you can find it. It'll be wrong, but you can find it in the Bible. You want to reinforce, racism, you can find it. You want to reinforce, any idea of what love is, any idea of you can have a very liberal type of Christianity, very conservative Christianity. You can find it all, but what's missing from all of it really is a love of truth. If you have a genuine love of truth, you'll be able to understand the right interpretation of everything.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to take a little break here, and when we get back, I'd like to hear from our people in our listening audience. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We do carry a wonderful book which says basically what our guest today is saving. It's called Renewing the Soul of America, One a Life at a Time. And for Catholics, Idols in the House. One's written for Protestants, the other's for Protestants, but of course they both tell the same story. It's really up to us to change our lives.
What if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Hey, this is Dr. Tony Tieri. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, that we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guests certainly have got a lot of responses here. First of all, we have Mark calling from Carmel. Hi, Mark. Did you have a question?
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I do. Sir, when, as one begins to wake up to what's really going on through good programs like Dr. Stan's and others, it is readily available to see that we are living in the most propagandized, most brainwashed, most mind-controlled generation in recorded human history. The evening news is like watching the pages of Orwell's 1984 come to life before your eyes. We have two cousins running for president now who are members of a satanic organization, the Skull and Bones, who is dedicated to the overthrow of this country, whose oath supersedes all other oaths that they may ever take. The deception is so horrendous now that it's difficult. Now,
did you have a question?
Yes, I do. My question is this. I believe it's time for us to face the possibility that we are now in the tribulation. What do you think of that? And I'll take my answer on the air.
All right, fine. Of course, Mark is saying we're in the tribulation. What are your thoughts, response to that be?
I don't want this to sound disrespectful, like I'm not interested in eschatology and end times prophecy. I very much am interested in it. But in the most real sense, it don't matter. And here's what I mean by that. You know the ancient, there's a famous Negro spiritual I like. It's called Everyone Talking About Heaven Ain't Going There. Okay? You know that song?
Yep.
Everyone talking about heaven ain't going there. Well, if you can know everything there is about the end times, but if you're not right with God, it's not going to help you. And you can know nothing about it. But if you're an innocent soul and you're right with God, you're going to be at the right place at the right time, regardless of, you know, all end times talk is speculation. Sorry. I mean, it's there. It's in the Bible. It's in Revelation. I'm talking about man's interpretation of exactly when it's going to happen. It seems to me a certain person named Jesus said, no one, not even the Son, only the Father knows when this day will come. We are not meant to know exactly when. I'm somewhat of a student. I read all the Hal Lindsey books back in the 70s, and it could very well be that we are approaching the end of the age. It could very well be. But I don't see how that changes how you live your life. You could be living in the Middle Ages or now or 100 years from now. You better be living every day for God. And it doesn't matter whether, you know what? The end is coming a week from Tuesday. It's time to get serious now. Can we have the weekend off? Okay, starting next Monday, we'll get serious about life, and we'll be okay for God because he'll be impressed with the way we'll be good closers, the way we finish things.
What you're saying is we ought to live every day as if this would be our last one, and I always like to say to people, you may very well be right, but what happens if you do nothing now about what's happening in our society, and the end times come 30 years from now?
Stan, my article, Why Are Christians Losing America, it quotes extensively from a book by John Chalfant, it has a new title now. It was called Abandonment Theology, and now it's got a new title. But and he talks all about, and this abandonment theology is a term he coined to refer to the teachings of certain Christian ministers that basically say, hey, things are bad, but they're supposed to get bad. They've got to get bad before Jesus comes again, so let's all just kind of keep your nose clean, wait for the rapture, to heck with everybody else, because it's supposed to be that way. So it's okay to feel that way because the Bible says that many will have to go to the other place. And so I know people personally who, when they heard about the Intifada starting a few years ago and you had many people getting killed in the Holy Land, thought it was great because that means that Jesus is coming back even sooner. It's not great. Okay, and we should be involved in trying to stop it.
I agree with you totally, and let's go to Andrea calling from Ohio. Hi, Andrea. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I agree 200% with everything that you just said. I see a couple of trends that I think I'd like you to comment on. In a lot of the churches, there seems to be a compartmentalization. Piety is for what happens, in the worship and to have a good worship experience. There's a compartmentalization. There's private religion and public life. But also, another trend that I see, I saw it because I grew up in a church that didn't value the Old Testament much. Basically, they said, well, the Old Testament, they took the Old Testament and even some portions of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, is for the Jews.
All right. Andrea, I'm afraid yeah, we're going to have to go to a break. Did you have a quick question for our guest?
Comments were, have you been seeing this same thing, and how would you address these issues?
All right. Okay, fine. We'll have our guest take that as soon as we get back after
the
break.
Thank you.
Great.
laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan, and of course we've been talking about America, and we're talking about a book written by John Salfont, Kant, Abandonment Theology, and we carry that book. We think it's a very important one. We have to understand that the church has turned its back on this wonderful society that has really given America the opportunity to worship and has really been the foundation of so much of the missionary work going on throughout the world. And, of course, to understand this, you have to understand that the enemies of God infiltrated our seminaries 50 years ago. And those of you who heard our program yesterday with Dr. Joe Douglas talked about that. You've heard my interviews with Colonel Ron Ray, and Colonel Ray talked to David Horowitz, who had been from a communist family, and he smiled when he said, oh yes, we took over your seminaries 50 years ago, and that's why our ministers say, oh, you don't have to be involved in anything. They preach Romans 1, which is exactly what they did in Hitler's Germany so a few years ago. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is David Kapilian, and of course she's from WorldNet Daily, and Andrea had called in, well, I guess we still have Andrea on the line. Andrea,
yes,
is still
I'm
there?
I'm still here.
All right. David, Andrea was talking about this compartmentalization that she sees in the church. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, that is a great word. That sums it up. And, you know, that's basically what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Compartmentalization. You go to church on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you reinforce the idea that you're saved,
sure.
and then you can go, what was that famous song, you know, I go to church on Sunday and cabaret on Monday.
Absolutely.
You know, if it were real, if the faith, if the walk with God were real, it would be in your mind, in your heart, how does Deuteronomy say it, you know, when you lie down and when you're walking in the way, it would be following you around like a hound dog all the time.
Sure.
There wouldn't be any compartmentalization. You know what? My most unfavorite commercial on television right now is that CD Vegas commercial. You know, what happens here stays here. You seen that?
I haven't seen it.
Well, they show some sort of sinful scene in Vegas, and then at the end it says, hey, what happens here stays here, implying you can go to Vegas, get involved in some kind of activity of a sinful nature that you would never do in your normal life, and no one's going to find out about it. You can be immoral, you can be unfaithful, you can gamble, you can, you know, whatever it is. And it's kind of like that in reverse. It's compartmentalization to say that you can be a rotten sinner in Vegas, but nobody else will know. You know, but God knows, and He's in Vegas. Okay, and this is like that in reverse. Your life is compartmentalized. Your spiritual life is one thing. You go to Bible study. You do this. You do that. But then when it comes to your relationships, your family with your wife, your husband, your children, your coworkers, you are just the same as everybody else. You're just as worldly and shallow and selfish and egotistical as everybody else.
Sure.
And that's why this country is not changing, because the people who call themselves Christians are really not any different. In fact, you know that according to George Barna, who's a very respected Christian researcher, the divorce rate among Christians is greater than among all those heathen out there.
Oh, sure. And what helps it along, I think, and then I'll let you go, is that belief that we've been fed that we don't have to do any works, that it is by faith alone. And we don't know what sin is. I think that's another issue that we have in the church.
Well, of course, if there's no evidence that you're saved, why, maybe you're not. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Tom from Texas. And, of course, that old adage, you know, well, you know, you're not saved by faith. Pardon me, you're not saved by works, you're saved by faith. That's all well and good, but, of course, if there's no evidence that you were saved, are you really saved? Tom from Texas, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I've got a question for the both of you. I think it's related to the conversation. I hope it's not too far off topic. Obviously, the Bible says that the path to heaven is narrow and few make it, and the path to hell is wide, and that's where most people are going, right?
Right.
So I was wondering what you two thought about hell itself. Do you believe hell is literally eternal suffering that never ends, or do you believe it's annihilation and you just cease to exist, or do you think it's neither, or something entirely different?
All right, fine. That's a legitimate question. I'm going to let David give it the definitive answer, and then I'll give my opinion. David, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, you won't find the definitive answer until you until you pass on. But I have a different kind of idea of it. I think it's pretty logical, and it really doesn't matter. Like, again, you have to live your life the right way here and trust to God to deliver you into the right place. And he has a great track record with that. But, you know, it could be that, think of this. If you're somebody who has really run away from God all your life, who's hated the truth, hated God, and run away into pleasure and into kind of, you know, sensuality and sin and drugs and so forth. There are a million ways. You can run away into music. I tell you what, you can run away into religion. There are lots of ways that you can run away from the truth. But if you have been basically an enemy of truth, of the living God, in your lifetime here on earth, and then you shed this body in which you escape, if you know what I'm saying. You can't listen to music, you can't have sex, you can't do anything without the body, and it's just your consciousness, your soul that's left, and you're in God's light, but you have hated God all your life. Well, it occurs to me that heaven would feel like hell. That's just a thought. It may be an instructive thought. It doesn't really matter. This is God's department, and he can handle it the way he does. But I do think that the soul does live on. I don't really think I believe in just annihilation. I think your consciousness lives on, and certainly that's what Jesus clearly says, to my mind, in the scriptures where he talks about the afterlife.
All right.
I know some people believe that hell is death, where heaven is life, and therefore hell being death means you cease to exist, whereas in heaven you are granted eternal life.
Well, I think that's my personal view, is that the devil's own message. We have a 4-tape set on hell. And it doesn't move very well because people really don't want to hear about hell, but I will tell you one
tapes.
Thing.
Come on now.
I will tell you that Jesus Christ said a lot more about hell than he said about heaven. So if you really, we have a little book on it, on hell. We have a 4-tape set on hell, and I believe that you're going to live throughout all eternity, and you're going to have to decide right now where you're going to spend there. Because wouldn't it be terrible to find out there really is eternal suffering and damnation? God doesn't want to send you there, but people make that choice themselves. Hey, thanks, Tom. I'm not a theologian, but we do have a wonderful 4-tape set by people who've looked into this, and I'll tell you, when you listen to that tape set, you'll never look at the subject of hell again the same, okay?
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. And the nice thing of having 60 or 80 tape sets is we've got a tape set on almost everything by people who've really looked into these subjects. And I will tell you, when you begin looking into the subject of hell, why there's an awful lot in the Bible about it. And if you want to just completely discount the Bible, why then you can make up anything you want. But if you believe in the validity of the scriptures, then you need to find out what it says there. A little tiny pamphlet, little short book on hell, but I will tell you, it doesn't sell very well. It ought to sell a lot better, and maybe when things get worse, people will begin wanting to know those answers, answer to the question Tom just put forward. Well, David,
you need to do some better marketing. You could call that series on, you know, how to get to heaven, and then, you know, and then you have the whole thing about hell, and then you could, you know.
Well, anyway, David, what are your suggestions? Now, I agree with everything you've said. The reason we're in trouble today is because so many people profess to be Christians, but if they were ever put on trial, there'd never be enough evidence to convict them of it. And so what are we going to do to actually get people to understand that if we're going to change America, it's going to have to start with each one of us, one person at a time. And I certainly want to recommend that wonderful book by Reverend Chuck Crismeyer, who was a very successful attorney till the Lord called him into the ministry. It's called Renewing the Soul of America, and it is a wonderful, wonderful book, and talks about our obligation to be involved in this spiritual battle. And it truly is a spiritual battle, but we can't engage in it unless we are on the right side. So how do you profess or suggest that people begin addressing the issue you've raised?
I think the bottom line of the whole thing is that people need to discover a genuine love of truth, as distinguished from a love of the idea that they're saved, okay? I mean, it's wonderful to be saved, okay? But it can't start and end with... It's ultimately kind of selfish. Okay, oh, okay, I'm being taken care of. Okay, that's it. Well, I think if people would sort of, just for a moment, put aside all of their props, all of their crutches, even, how do I say this, even the doctrines that we believe, they don't do us any good if we don't really see them. Doctrine is, you know, the Christian faith. All faiths have doctrine. They have beliefs, okay? But even if you have the most perfect dogma or doctrine that is absolutely without a flaw, okay? It's absolutely the truth in God's eyes, okay? It doesn't do you a heck of a lot of good just to kind of believe it mechanically without really seeing it deeply. We need to become deeper people. We need to become more reflective people, more introspective, more honest. We need to be able to speak up to other people when they're wrong. We need to not care so much about what other people think about us. This might sound like I'm getting far afield from this, but this is central because we're all fearful of, you know, losing other people's approval. And, you know, we're supposed to just not want, you know, what does the Bible say? The love of the world is an enmity with God. We're supposed to want, you know, as Lady Thatcher said, the big fella's approval, you know, and not worried so much about what other people think, because people are flawed and they're wrong. You and I included, we're wrong about something.
I'm wrong very often.
And so, you know, I'm just saying that people need to look at themselves in the mirror. They need to take a deep breath. They need to stop being so bloody angry at the government, at their spouse, at life, at Bush or at Kerry or whoever they're mad at, okay? Stop being so mad at whatever they think is the problem, which is the problem. Hey, Satan is out there. He's real. It doesn't help to be all upset and mad at him. We need to calm down, and we need to look at ourselves honestly. When I say look in the mirror, I mean, you know, figuratively. We need to look at ourselves and repent of the very real flaws to our nature that we see. And I'll tell you something, this is not a matter of doctrine and dogma. When that thief on the cross next to Jesus, I tell you something, he did not know about the Trinity, he did not know about the Nicene Creed, he didn't have any dogma, but he had a sincere, humble heart, and he recognized who he was talking to, and he didn't even presume on his salvation. He didn't say, please save me. He just said, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And of course Jesus said, you'll be with me today in paradise. It was an attitude. And we need to find an attitude of humility and just dead honesty with each other. Not just on Sunday, you know what I'm saying? We need to find an honesty that's calm and not angry, not always blaming everybody else like we're little miniature Al Sharptons. We need to be, you know, looking at ourselves first and foremost. And I'm saying that out of that honesty, that introspection, that humility and repentance that happens when we look at ourselves and our relationships and our selfishness and our impatience and all that, it does yield to the Holy Spirit. It does yield to your conscience. In other words, it does give you up. You do become a better person. You do make some progress. And the fringe benefit of all that is you understand other people. You understand human nature. You see things right. You see who to vote for and who not to vote for. You see what to support. What all your beliefs, personal, policy, you know, public and private, they all fall into place as the fringe benefit of a core honesty in your soul toward God.
Well, I agree with you. We have put together a 10-point program on what people can do to try to save America. And the point number one was that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because you can't get into this battle unless you do, because it's really a spiritual battle. The second one was to understand the Constitution and the background of America and the faith of our founding fathers. It wasn't until the third point where you begin to find out what the bad guys were doing, because you have to know what you believe where we came from before we can understand what's happening. Well, we've got Sylvia calling us from Texas. Hi, Sylvia. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Stan. I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
Doing fine. How are you listening to? A shortwave internet or on a radio station there?
Radio station.
Okay, fine. Does you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a question. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian?
All right, that's a good question. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian, David?
No.
And do you have to go to church to... See, I have a friend who's, I believe strongly in the Bible. I read every night, but she believes I'm not a Christian unless I go to church.
Well, I think, Sylvia, it helps to go to church if you've got a good Bible-believing church with a lot of structure, but you don't have to, if you, in your own heart, believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ and the story of his death and resurrection, that's what Christianity is about. Sometimes it helps to have a camaraderie with other Christians, but some people, I get this from all across America, people call and say, I can't stand any of my churches, they're all into church growth and the bebop music, and I don't feel comfortable there. And I say, well, then you're better off not going. So, you know, this is your decision. It's between you and God.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. I appreciate the answer.
All right.
You know, Stan, can I just add to that?
Go ahead.
You know, Jesus, and I'm not a Bible thumper, and I can't quote the verse and chapter, but I'll paraphrase pretty closely. He was asked about, you know, worshiping in Jerusalem, and he said, look, there's going to come a time when people will worship not on this mountain or in Jerusalem, but will worship God in spirit and in truth. And God seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth.
Well, I think it's wonderful if you've got a good church and you feel comfortable there.
Oh, of course.
But, you know,
but she's asking, is it a necessity?
No, I don't think you're going to go to hell because you don't go to church. But I will tell you, it's sort of nice to be with a group of people who really believe, but that's an individual decision. Well, you know, we're just about out of time, David. It's been a fascinating opportunity. Do you want to put a plug in for WorldNet Daily again?
Well, yes. WorldNet Daily is just worldnetdaily.com or WND.com. It's the world's largest independent news website. Very popular. And if you'd like to read the story, it's long. It's about 2,500 words. Why Are Christians Losing America? It's on page one right now, and it'll be there till 10 Pacific tonight, probably.
And then you're going to begin posting the latest news, huh?
Well, yes. We have a new edition twice a day, and the next edition, the morning edition, is posted at 1 Eastern, which is 10 p.m. Pacific.
And I want to put a plug in for WorldNet Daily. I've known Joseph Fair for many years, and he is doing a great job. You're getting information there you won't get elsewhere. And that's one of my two, I guess one of my three favorite websites to go to. So let me tell you that the information they put out is, I think it's really great, and I appreciate everything you and Joe are doing.
Well, thanks so much.
And I appreciate the fact that World Net Daily really carried my book, Brotherhood of Doctors, for a time and helped to get it really off the ground when we first put it out here a couple of years ago.
You bet.
All right, fine. Do you have a parting thought at all to wrap things up with?
No. Just go to church on Sunday. Isn't that what Billy Graham used to say?
All right, fine.
But if you don't have a church, you can still be a Christian. Just find God in your heart.
All right, fine. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Well, there's our guest. It's been David Kapulian, and, of course, we've been talking about the problems we find in America, which once was known by everyone in the world as a Christian nation. No longer. Christianity has changed. There's been an organized effort to actually alter the Christian thrust of this nation. Oh, we have still the superficial veneer of Christianity, but of course, if we're going to take America back, it's going to have to start one person at a time, starting with you. Remember the two books we have for Protestants, Renewing the Soul of America, for Catholics, Idols in the House, and, well, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back here in a moment.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that, and yet if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance, and of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention a few of the other items that we carry here at Radio Liberty. We carry a four-tape set. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And Malachi Martin was a Jesuit priest. He was a confidant of Pope John Paul the 23rd. Fascinating individual. But goes into the backgrounds of what's happened to the Catholic Church and why there's so many problems in the Catholic Church. We have another wonderful four-tape set for Catholics. It was actually my interviews with Barbara McQuiggan. She called me and asked me if we could do the interviews, and she would use them through her ministry. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. Really doesn't even talk about the Catholic faith, although she is Catholic. But just, it's called Choosing Virtue. And if you want something that's uplifting, that just makes you feel good about yourself and about the world and about Christianity, why the four-tape set Choosing Virtue. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on the church growth movement, which is sweeping across America today. A four-tape set on church growth movement, a video called Diaprax in the Church. And it goes into the background of the church growth movement and the occult foundations of so many of the ideas that are sweeping across Christendom today. We have a four-tape set on the musical madness and what's really happening to music, the terrible impact that music has. Evil music has evil influence, and good music has good influence. And is the music we're hearing in our churches really worshiping God? We have a great book. It's called The Crisis in Christian Music by Dr. Jack Wheaton, who has been studying this whole movement for so many years. Let me suggest all of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and this is a little different program today, but I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it gives each one of you thoughts. Remember the two books we talked about? We talked about Dr. Chris Myers, Chuck Chris Myers' book, Renewing the Soul of America, and of course his book by a good friend, Ted Flynn, who's Catholic, idols in the house. And both of them, they basically have the same message. If we're going to solve our problems as Americans, we're going to have to return to God. And I would recommend both of those books to you. They're both inspiring. Both have a tremendous amount of information in them that will draw you closer to the Lord. And I really hope that people will understand, if we're going to change America, it has to start with us. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will understand we are involved in a spiritual battle. And we, of course, talk about the video we carry. It's called The Gods of Entertainment by Carol Matriciano. Goes into Hollywood. What's really going into Hollywood? A lot of great shots of Mel Gibson. And, of course, the making of his film, The Passion, and the tremendous opposition to it. Why? Well, because there are people who hate Christianity. And the whole theme of her video is the main driving force in Hollywood today is the destruction of Christianity. Now, there's some Christians there, and they're fighting, but they're not the people who are usually in charge of those studios, and they're the ones who are turning out these terrible films. They lose money on them. But, of course, they gain if they can destroy Christianity and undermine our faith. We have another video called Hollywood Unmasked. Hollywood Unmasked, and we recommend that to you as well. Of course, we also have both the 4-hour and the 10-hour versions of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And we talked a little earlier about hell. Is there really a hell? Well, I believe there's a literal hell. We have a 4-tape set and a book on it. But on these videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, you'll hear the rock stars telling about how they sold their souls to the devil. This is very real. The devil is not imaginary. He's out there like a hungry lion searching for souls, and he's getting an awful lot of them. Yeah, right out of our schools and our colleges and out of the people who are watching television today. And so many of our people are addicted to pornography, and it's said that up to perhaps as many as 50% of Protestant ministers are addicted to pornography. We got a real problem in the church. We got problems in the Catholic Church. We got a problem in the Protestant Church. Christianity is under attack today. Let me suggest these videos. We talked about They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. The video, The Gods of Entertainment, the video, Hollywood Unmasked, and we have so many other things on the pagan agenda. It's very real. It's infiltrated our church. We have a pagan agenda special. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which gets into the background of this spiritual battle for the souls of men. And we're approaching the climax of that battle. If you haven't read my book or seen the video, you need to. And then, of course, if you want to understand what their real plan is, the mass genocide that lies ahead, with the quotations not from them, not from some right-wing minister, but quotations from Jacques Cousteau and from Bertrand Russell and from George Bernard Shaw and so many of the leaders of our society. Why, the telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you want to get our population control agenda monograph, you want to get the 4-tape set on population control, you want to understand the reason we're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic is because they want to kill off as many people as possible. I fought this battle for 10 years. If you haven't read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, you need to get it and read it. You need to read our population control agenda monograph. And then you need to pray for America. You need to pray for revival because we're being besieged by evil today on every front. Our children in government schools are being taught about the advantages of homosexuality and all sorts of perversion. You know, in kindergarten, the first grade, we live in a world consumed with evil. And where are the Christians? Why, their outcry is deafening and it's silence. Pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection till tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.